Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a Truebolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes, on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
We are simulcasting 49ers Web Zone, No Huddle, El Sacco, Brian Reddick, and 49ers Rush with the fan favorite, John Chapman. Chapman,
what's
how you
going
doing,
on,
buddy?
Guys? Oh, doing up, great. I got the bat signal this morning from the great El Sacco, and I was like, all right, I ain't saying no to this one. So very happy to be here with you guys, man.
I literally woke up and said to myself, I want to talk to John Chapman on the show today. And I opened it up. I put
Thanks
up a bat
my
signal.
Wife
here
has,
he is.
Has never said. Thanks my wife has never
said. Dude, I'm getting to that point, you guys, where like football starting to consume me again. Like I had things to do today. I did. I had responsibilities. But instead, I just looked at fantasy stuff for like 2 hours. Because the one thing that's on my mind right now, I need wide receivers in my dynasty league. And I have the sixth pick. So is it going to be like Xavier Worthy? Is it Ladd McConkey? Like, who am I looking at? That's all I'm thinking about right now. I'm at that point where football is starting to consume me. And if I get through another season without getting divorced, great. All the better. But if I do, that's life.
All
that's
the better. Life. All the better.
You'll get that compensation pick update on the following year draft if that takes place. So that's the
good. There you go. There you go. True. Do I get a compensation pick if I get divorced? I should
only if she gets picked up. Only if she gets picked up by an opposing team.
She'll get picked up. Nobody's picking me up, but She's not going to have any issues, I don't think. All right. I wanted to talk, or we wanted to talk, I should say, what some training camp stuff, just things we're looking at. But Brian can't go a show without talking about Brandon Ayuk. So, Brian, go ahead. Listen, bring it up.
Listen, it's the storyline. Can we at least agree that regardless of how often we've brought it up, it's not quarterback talk? Like, that's, yeah, I mean, guess that's the regardless, place. I'm like, that's a win in my book. But no, we, you know, obviously you and I, Al, talked ad nauseum about that situation on, was it Monday? Today's Thursday. Was it Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Regardless. But one of the things that I thought was interesting that has come out since then, and I'm not saying I'm lending any credence to any of these, but it's just an interesting idea, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. One of the rumors that has floated around and has been kind of picked up, at least on 49ers Twitter, whether or not it's valid, I have no idea. It's not coming from any reliable source. It's not coming from a Silver or Garofalo or Garofalo or Chef or anybody, right? But one of the ideas that has been floated around is that there is a connection between Brandon Ayuk and the Las Vegas Raiders. That connection being Antonio Pierce, their head coach, Arizona State guy, Brandon Ayuk, Arizona State guy. We know if you've been watching receiver, Devontae Adams is not terribly happy in Vegas. One of the ideas that's been floated is there a trade to be had between the Raiders and the 49ers in which Ayuk goes to Las Vegas? And in return, the Raiders are sending Devontae Adams. Maybe there needs to be more than just that, but that's more the meat of what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to get your guys' take on the idea of where would you stand if in a trade, regardless of what extra comes in, just that part of the trade, Brandon Ayuk for Devontae Adams, where would you land on that in terms of I'm in, I'm out, I think it's a great move, I think it's a bad move. Where would you guys stand on that?
You know, right off the bat, I got to say, and this might not be popular, Devontae Adams is a better wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk is. And now at this stage, he's 31 years old. He's signed through the year 34. Brandon Ayuk's 26. So one of them's kind of ascending in Brandon Ayuk, and one of them's kind of at that peak plateau point. Now, you look at what the 49ers have done this offseason, almost everything is like, we're competing now. If it's not helping us now, then we're out. You look at all the free agents they signed, logging the tooth. You know, they're not building the back end or backups with undrafted free agents. It's, man, we're going and getting vets. Logan Thomas, Devondre Campbell, like Eric Saubert. We want vets that have played at these spots. So if it's just take everything else out of it, salary cap, whatever else. Devontae Adams in, Brandon Ayuk out. Devontae Adams is a better wide receiver, in my opinion. And I think probably most NFL evaluators would probably agree. Al, do you agree with that?
I do agree. The one concern I'd have with it is receivers tend to hit a wall. We've seen it with Julio Jones and Hopkins. Sometimes they just come out and you're like, AJ Green, you're like, what happened? And it usually is around 31, 32 years old where that happens, which is where Adams is. So would that worry me? Yes. But I would look at it in this way. And if this did happen, it's probably the way the Niners are looking at it, is that, look, we're only going to have Ayuk for one more year. We're not extending him at what he wants. We may tag him, but it would be a tag and trade. This is a one-year thing with Ayuk. We're going to run it back with him this year and then likely move on. If that's the way that they're thinking, and it's a one-year trade-off for the two of them, because Adams has no guaranteed money left after this year, and you would say, too, okay, anything we get from after Adams this year is gravy, right? But we're just going to look at it as 1 year for 1 year. Yeah, I would take Adams too. I mean, like you said, he's the better wide receiver. He comes in the Shanahan system with a quarterback in Purdy who's going to take some chances and just, you know, throw it up to him sometimes, give him opportunities. To me, I think you're nuts not to say Devontae Adams there, knowing that, yeah, is he on the decline? Possibly. And would I rather have Ayuk for the next 4 years? Yes, 100%. Because you're not going to get another great 4 years from Adams. But for 1 year, just this year, all in, I agree with you. I would go Adams.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's played in the system. Yeah. LaFleur. Yeah. Like he's been
correct.
Part of.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
And it, you know, obviously did well.
It's hard to argue against it for this year. Right. And you know, one of the things that you and I talked about, Al, was like, again, this idea that, you know, the 49ers have really waited a long time late into the offseason to sign some of their stars. And we highlighted Kittle, Debo, and Bosa. How each of those signed really late, Bosa obviously very late, and all of them had very down years that year. And if the 49ers are competing for a Super Bowl now, again, would you rather have Davante Adams in a trade that occurs within the next week or two so that he can come into camp and you can do that? Or would you rather have Brandon Ayuk on a fifth-year option who missed all, some, most of camp? I think I would rather have Davante Adams. Now, that doesn't, to me, that's not a move for the future. That's a move for a Lombardi this year. And I think it's a great move for a Lombardi this year. But I do think you hurt your team long-term. Now, the question becomes, do you hurt your team long-term financially if you give Ayuk the extension that he's looking for, which for all reports and all intents and purposes, we're looking at 28 to 30 million APY, right? He wants to beat Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra is 28 a year. And so, you know, do you go 28? Do you go 29, right? Do you beat that? Do you hamstring yourself for the future? Possibly. As far as roster talent, that you are taking a dip in future years because, again, Davante doesn't have any guaranteed money. Likely that they wouldn't, you know, restructure that in any way to give him guaranteed money past this year because he'd be going into his 32, 33, 34 year seasons. I don't know that they'd be inclined to do that. So it's not a move for the future. It's a move for now. But to me, it's the only option on the table that is palatable to me out of all the options, including making Ayuk play on his fifth year option, including, you know, the possibility of him holding out. Like, of all the possibilities that we've talked about, Brandon Ayuk for Davante Adams to me is the most palatable of all of them. And so whether or not it happens, I doubt it. But you know, you never say never, right? And you know, it'll be interesting to see. Ultimately, I think Kyle Shanahan is the one that's going to step in and make this thing happen, whatever it is, whether what he makes happen is a trade like that, what he makes happen is Brandon Ayuk getting signed, because Kyle Shanahan is the one that steps in and makes all of these things happen, including the Debo signing, right? So that's really where I'm at, but it is an intriguing idea to me. And I do think that a disgruntled Brandon Ayuk playing on his fifth year option does not help the 49ers' chances of the Lombardi as much as a happy Ayuk with an extension does, but a Davante Adams absolutely does. Maybe even more than a happy Ayuk, I'm not sure. But it would be quite interesting. And that would be a hell of a receiver core with Davante Adams, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall. Like, that's, I mean, you know, the everyone talks about how many weapons Brock Purdy has now. If Davante Adams ended up on this team, people would lose their minds.
They would. It sells so many jerseys, you know, obviously Fresno State, all that stuff, the connections there. But the question is, like, what would that cost, right? The practicality of it, is it just an even swap? Do you get something in return? Do you give something? Like, we don't see this in today's NFL, especially position for position trades. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Watching receiver and seeing Davante Adams literally sign off on firing the head coach and Jimmy Garoppolo to bring in Pierce, like they seem like best buds. They're like the Brian and Al Sacco of the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know why they would make that decision, but it's fun to talk about. It always is.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. It's certainly going to be an interesting next 6 weeks or whatever while all this stuff kind of shakes out. But camp is around the corner. I mean, I know we're all really excited to get it going. I think where my mindset is with camp this year is this window is getting smaller and smaller and smaller with the guys that we've come to know the past 5, 6, 7 years. You know, just Kittle's getting older. Williams is getting older. There's been changes on the D-line. McCaffrey's not going to play forever, right? You got to start finding new people. And I feel like there's guys this year, they're going to need him to be part of this next window. And that's going to kind of be what I have my eyes on in this camp, is not only the Ricky Pearsalls and the Dominic Poonies and Garendo and guys like that, but also some of these undrafted free agents that they've signed. And I talked about this with Larry Kruger recently too. The Niners are so good at this, at bringing these undrafted guys, and guys like Evan Anderson at the D-line. Drake Nugent is someone I think who could be a future center. Cody Schrader, we've seen them bring these running backs in from everywhere. I guess where are your eyes right now in training camp? Are there certain players you're looking at out of these young guys, certain spots? Where are you guys at with this right now?
My favorite thing going to camp is to see the rotations, who works with the ones, the twos, what spots they're at. And I feel like right now, man, there are so many questions. Like Ricky Pearsall, obviously, you know, he's on NFI. Where is he going to be lining up at? Mm-hmm. Is he the X? Is he the Z? Is he behind Debo? Is he the slot? Like all that stuff. You throw the same thing out there with Jacob Cowing or Tatum Bethune. Is he in role for the Sam linebacker spot? Or is that going to be DFF versus D Winner? Like there's mm-hmm. a lot of the 49ers returned almost the majority of their roster.
Yeah.
But due to injuries and or just players leaving, man, who's quarterback three? Is Isaac Yiadom really going to be the guy who started all of OTAs and minicamps outside? Is yep. he going to be that number three and kick Demo in? Is Renardo Green even getting the number two nickel snaps, or is that Chase Lucas? Is Samuel Womack moved inside finally where he should be? I'm there's a lot of intriguing storylines just about personnel and how the mm-hmm. 40, because that tells us what their future plan is and their red shirt philosophy that they always do.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard every week in Sam Tipper. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams, one pass yard. Bet $20, you win 60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win, so it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on her old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Yeah. And yeah, Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, speaking of Yotam, one of the things that I think is interesting is that question, right? Is Yotam going to be on the outside? Are they going to kick Demo inside? It sounds like that is the scenario they would prefer, but they know that Demo is really good on the outside. I know this sounds conspiratorial and it kind of is, but one of the questions I have is Demo also is going to be in line for a contract extension after this season. Slot corners do not make as much as outside corners. Is one of their thoughts, look, we kick him inside and then we negotiate him as a nickel corner. And if push comes to shove and we cannot sign Charvarius Ward to a number that we agree to or whatever the case may be, we've got Demo that we know we can throw back outside paying him nickel money. I mean, like I said, it's conspiratorial nature, but I think that's probably at least part of some of the thought process. Outside of the fact that Demo would be great in the slot. I mean, he really would. He's a willing tackler. He's a great blitzer. Those are all things that you need to be if you're going to play that nickel spot in this 49ers defense. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see the rotation at corner, especially because, again, both Demo and Charvarius Ward are going to need extensions after this season, or at the very least, Ward is going to walk after this season. But, Al, you brought up running backs. The amount of running backs they have in camp is wild, right? Because they drafted Garendo and they brought in Cody Schrader and they still have Jordan Mason and they still have CMC. And they still have, man, he's injured so many times. I'm Elijah Mitchell right now. Thank you, Elijah Mitchell. That's a lot of talent at the running back position, in which they're probably only going to carry three because Juice makes four. And so, are they looking to possibly move Elijah Mitchell? Is Jordan Mason's pass protection, has it gotten better so that he can actually have a fighter's chance at making this roster? Or is Garendo or Schrader going to show, hey, not only can I pass protect, but I, you know, especially Schrader is not going to blow you away with his athleticism in any stretch of the imagination, but what he did in the SEC, you don't do if you're not talented, right?
Like, oh, sure.
It just is what it is. He's a guy that really understands the outside zone, which is the scheme that they run, and is really good at running it. His vision is elite. He has one cut and go ability. You know, that's the kind of thing that Shanahan looks for. And so while he's not a burner by any stretch of the imagination, could he be a guy that supplants Mason because he shows that he can pass protect? Whatever the case may be, it will be interesting to see. But I think wide receiver, I think, is going to work itself out. And I think we already know at least five of the guys that are going to make the squad.
Agreed. And so, yeah, I think five are locked in.
Yeah, so to me, running back is intriguing. Cornerback is intriguing just to see the rotations and hopefully to see the fact that Ambry Thomas isn't getting on the field at all. That's one of the things that I hope to see as well. No offense, Ambry.
There's a world where Mitchell and Mason are not on this team.
Agreed.
I mean, I could see it happening. You know, Schrader, I've heard people compare him to Blake Corum light.
Mm-hmm. He runs like Blake Corum.
We know that how much like Garendo, obviously they spent a high pick on him. So there's a world where both of those guys are gone. Mitchell's great, but he's always hurt. At what point do you have to cut bait? He's in the last year of his deal. You could probably trade him. And Jordan Mason's a guy that the fans love. We love to watch him run the ball, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan does. Kyle Shanahan clearly doesn't trust him. He doesn't get on the field. So running back, yeah, I could definitely see a world where it is Garendo and Schrader and CMC, obviously. you brought up the secondary a little bit earlier. And John, you mentioned like what guys are they going to redshirt this year? And I think that's a really good place to look where their head's at, because Demo's a free agent. Ward's a free agent. Yotam's on a one-year deal. Hufanga, if we want to look at the safety group, is in the last year of his deal. So what is the long-term plan there? Do they plan to bring back two of these three guys, or are they going to groom, I don't know, a Looter, a Green, guys like that to take over, because they only maybe plan to bring back one of them? So that's what's going to be interesting for me to see, is who, like you said, who's where, who's playing inside, where do they have people, you know, lined up? Because if Yotam has a great year, you can't re-sign Yotam, Demo, and Ward. You can't afford those three guys. And Hufanga, what are you going to spend? $45 million a year on your, you know, on those four guys? You can't do it, probably more. So that's going to be really interesting. They have decisions to make there. And who do they have lined up where, and which of these young guys may be able to step in and start as early as 2025?
Yeah, and I think the Niners, I don't think the Niners know the answers to these questions. I think the way their personnel and the way in which they order their depth chart and picks and everything is, look, okay, who's leaving next year? I call this the Lakin Tomlinson plan, right? So, like, who's going to on an expiring contract? Let's draft a backup. If they prove themselves, awesome, we move on. If they don't, then we just keep the stud. And so you've got a Drake Greenlaw backup, Hufanga backup, you know, Demo, Charvarius Ward backup. You've got, you know, Banks, he's on the last year of his deal, his bet. Like, they're peppered all throughout this entire thing, even the Ricky Pearsall pick. And so it's just like, look, let's just go into it. Let's see what happens, and we'll reevaluate this if they can prove themselves. And if they don't, then that kind of dictates who's going to be brought back and who isn't. We thought Aaron Banks was the biggest bust ever, because that dude got no snaps. He was a healthy scratch every single game. Steps up, starts every single game his sophomore year, and everybody's like, all right, I hope he returns to his sophomore level of play this year, by the way. But now you got Dominique Pooney taking snaps behind him at left guard. He's actually behind Ben Bartsch, though. That's another thing. Like, another not Pooney the sexiest. Is? Yeah, he was at certain parts. So okay. Bartsch got moved to center because all of our centers were hurt for OTAs. So, I mean, Ben Bartsch was taking first team center snaps. But the one thing that I keep telling people is, like, Chris Forster loves Ben Bartsch. he loves that dude. He has a bobblehead of him on his car dashboard. I promise you. That's not true. I'm making that up. But we'll have to see how it all pans out with this rotation. And, you know, Shanahan don't want to play any rookies, but when injuries happen, and they always happen,
right?
That's when Elijah Mitchell gets his chance. That's when, you know, all these whatever get a step in and get an opportunity. But it's not by design. It's, man, we got an injury. Let's see what the young guy can do.
Well, and it certainly feels like you said, actually in the chat here, Uncle Salty says the Kyle's redshirt program continues. It really does feel like the pattern that they've developed is, we will sign mid-level veterans to 1, maybe 2-year deals, right? And then we will also draft players at that position. And then we will plug those veterans in, because Kyle Shanahan obviously trusts veterans more than he does rookies. But if that veteran falters, you've got a rookie that, if they prove themselves, right, they step in. If not, they step in the following year, because you're not re-signing that veteran or whatever the case may be. Yeah, and it definitely seems like they're doing that.
Sorry about that. That was my fault.
No, you're good.
The one thing I would want to add to what you just said, Brian, again, a little nuance to it. Now, even in the draft this year, they didn't draft, like, all the rookies are like veteran rookies.
True.
They're all 25, 26.
Yeah, I would say they're like mid-20s.
So maybe
that was the draft as well, though.
The shift is, look, let's get these guys that we can rely on. Again, that's not what I'm saying they're doing, but that could be a shift or an adaptation this year, because everybody started 30 plus games beside Isaac Garrido. Everybody else played a lot. He's the only one that really hasn't started. Even the undrafted free agents, they played a lot. So maybe that shift's taking place, but I doubt it.
I think that was a perfect storm of what they were looking for, which was experience in college. That's the Brock Purdy effect, right? Like, hey, Brock is the way that he is because he started, you know, however many games in a Power Five conference. But it was also the draft, right? This is the last COVID draft. A lot of these guys, you know, were COVID guys, right? So they're coming out at 24, 25 because of those COVID years. We're not going to see that again. We're not going to see as many 24 or 25 year olds, but we may have seen a shift in draft strategy after the success of Brock Purdy to say, look, we drafted Trey Lance, the poster child of not enough experience. And then we drafted Brock Purdy and look what happened. Let's start applying that philosophy to other positions besides quarterback. And I think we kind of saw that this draft. And so I'm wondering if it's both, right? It's a change in philosophy and the COVID draft, or it's a change in philosophy. And we'll see it again next year when they have a bunch of rookies that are 22, 23, 24.
You know, I think for me too, the biggest concern right now to me is the defensive line, and they revamped it. So they were concerned about what they saw last year, and they revamped with new guys this year to bring in. And when I look at the defensive line, I mean, since this regime came in, they have built this team around the defensive line, right? That has been a priority with their first pick, Solomon Thomas, right? We're going to build around the defensive line, and that's what they've done. When I look at this year's defensive line, you have Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is an absolute stud, right? Javon Hargrave, to me, I don't know if I brought this up with you, that Chapman. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on him. If I get through with this, is he didn't have his best year last year. He's in his early 30s. Is he declining? Is he still Javon Hargrave? We already know he's not a good run defender. Then you have Malik Collins, which is a signing I love, but again, it's a short-term thing. He's pushing 30 years old. Leonard Floyd is likely just going to play on passing downs again, early 30s. And then you have guys like Gross Matos, who I think is going to play a huge role this year, but completely unknown. Jordan Elliott, all over the place with the Browns. Kevin Givens, Drake Jackson, Kalia Davis, these are just kind of guys. That's why I brought up Evan Anderson. Does somebody like that step up? I'm worried. The run defense wasn't good last year. I don't know if it's going to be any bit better this year, especially if you don't have Drake Greenlaw back there to start the season. That's my worry there. Is Chris Kosir going to work his magic? Are we going to find some of many hues out of this group and guys that we didn't expect? Or are we going to be in November again? Like, holy shit, this is a problem.
So number one, Hargrave, I'm with you. I would argue he had the worst playoff and Super Bowl contribution of any player on the 49ers roster. He was abysmal. He was terrible. And he played against not one, but two backup left guards in the NFC playoffs and got toasted by both of them. Both those same guys, Javon Kinlaw, rolled over and dominated. Like, and you even have Hargrave coming out saying, I got to be in better shape. So the age is rough. And you talked about, like, run defense, right? So, like, Javon Hargrave finished with a 51.4 Pro Football Focus grade against the run, which is not good. That's the highest of every single defensive tackle the 49ers have on their team.
Yes. Like,
it's not good. Now, what they did to combat that is all the defensive ends they brought in, great versus the run. So you've got these really, really good. I mean, you went from Randy Gregory and Chase Young, who are lost every single time it's an outside crack toss play, to Yetur Gross Matos. He's kind of getting paid because of what he does against the run. Leonard Floyd, the length and strength and leverage, great versus the run. Nick Bosa might be the best defensive end against the run in football. But you've got these stacked defensive ends that are great against the run. The defensive tackles, not so much. And you brought up Evan Anderson. He is a lock to make the 53 for me. I think it's him and Kalia Davis. Yeah.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I think Evan Anderson's going to be that guy. You just watch the tape, and it's like, man, the Niners don't have that. Now, an outside shot is Shaquille Brown, who, you know, out of Troy that they stole from the Titans, Rand Carthon. So, like, they've got some back end guys that are just run stuffers for second down players only, but somebody's got to step up because Malik Collins is a very good player. He's not a run stuffer. He never has been. That's not his role or has been his role. And so Kevin Givens, no. Jordan Elliott, no. That dude was a pass rush specialist only from the inside. So somebody got to step up. I'm scared of it too. I do like Tavondre Campbell. I do like our safeties. I do like that we have strength at nickel. I think that's going to help. But, man, if there's a red flag on this defense, it's stopping the run. Duo, like double teaming whenever, you know, the duo play is where you double team both guards. The 49ers operate with the fewest light boxes in the NFL on defense because we stay in our nickel and we don't crowd the boxes. We don't. We stick to what we do. Man, if Malik Collins and Hargrave can't anchor against double teams, like, it's going to get scary.
And look at the teams who have to, not to jump in on your price, sorry, but the teams that you're going to have to compete against.
Right.
The Eagles are going to run the ball with Barkley this year. The Lions, know that offensive line. The Rams scare the shit out of me this year, at least offensively they do. The Packers are going to, you know, you get in a game in January with the Packers and you hand it to Josh Jacobs 30 times. Cowboys will never scare me because they can't win a big game. But everybody else, all those other teams, right, they can attack you with the run, and it's why I'm worried this year.
I mean, look what the Rams did with their guards, right? They invested a shitload of money in their guards. They are absolutely going to run the ball on the interior on everybody. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers are going to play them twice. And it will be very, very interesting to see what that looks like. And like you said, John, you know, they don't have an interior presence that anybody knows can stop the run. They've got guys that we think can. Right. We've got guys that have the potential, right? Guys that did it in college, but nobody that we know can. And the other thing is, I mean, Javon Hargrave is going to be on the field almost every down, right? You're not taking Javon Hargrave off the field because of what you're paying him. And, you know, we can talk about whether that was a good decision or not. I mean, I was over the moon when they made that signing before the season. And then the season happened and you're like, oh, damn, that was not at all what I expected. So then the question becomes Malik Collins, the guy that you essentially brought in to replace Arik Armstead. If he can't stop the run, when does he get on the field? Because if he's just a pass rushing D tackle, then again, you're losing the flexibility of your Yetur Gross-Matos, who, you know, you have to be a run stopper on the outside. But likely moving inside, right, in obvious passing downs. But then Malik Collins will be there and Javon, right? So the rotation is so there. I don't even think they know what that rotation is going to look like yet. And it's really going to kind of, I think, not even really shake itself out until, I would say, after the first quarter of the season when they actually
It's going to take time.
Yeah,
you know you're four.
To play games, yeah.
You know
right,
you're
right,
four.
Right.
Now, who's the 5-6? And I'm sitting here screaming Evan Anderson, Kalia Davis, if he took some steps up. But if not, like, I would not be shocked. You know, Shanahan's notorious for this, you know, the training deadline, getting these back into the roster guys on the defensive line. Like, that's going to be happening again. I hope that it doesn't. But Kalia Davis, Shaquille Brown, I mean, T.Y. McGill, like, we're still doing this? Like, this is still happening?
Right, right.
Yeah, Evan Anderson, that was, and I said this on our show after the draft, that was the one undrafted free agent that I thought was a lock for this roster because of what he provides and also because they gave him, for an undrafted free agent, a very high signing bonus, which to me was like, it really kind of signaled, yeah, we're keeping this guy. But he's a rookie, right? And you have no idea what you're going to get from a guy like that. Kalia Davis, again, a guy that we really don't know because he redshirted his first year, didn't get a whole lot of time last year either. So, you know, Al has been sounding the alarm for run defense for the entire offseason. And I don't think we're going to know until well into the season whether or not we can expect this team to stop the run or not.
And if John's worried about it, I'm really worried about it. It makes me worry.
Oh, no.
John's always positive. And if he's worried, I'm really worried. You know, and on the other side of the ball, too, you know, as we're talking trenches here, the offensive line's getting – it's not great other than Williams. It's getting older. Feliciano's in his 30s. Brendel's in his 30s. Trent Williams, as great as he is, in his late 30s. And McKivitz, you know, was a replacement level right tackle. And Banks, like you said, John, like he's didn't have as good of a year last year. So I think Pooney can step up and maybe win one of these spots on the interior. I really do. Not Banks, but I think maybe he can beat out Feliciano. Center, who I know that they like Brendel, but you said if somebody like Barton, I don't know anybody that they, the Niners, I feel can like surprise us with someone who's like, okay, we've been grooming this guy, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody could step in because Brendel's another replacement level guy. So that Chris worries Forster, me too. Again,
let's say Chris Forster also has a Jake Brendel bobblehead on his dash as well. That's part.
Yeah,
of
but he's one to me. That's like that's where they get in trouble. And like you know, when you're playing these Chris Jones guys, you got these replacement level guys, especially on the inside.
Yeah.
And again, they're a year older, and a lot of these guys have played 60 games the last three seasons, and they're in your 30s. And like that's why I hope one of these young guys steps up and can really take the reins. And I don't know that Kyle will start them right now, but at least maybe towards the end of the season, they can pop in there if they need to, because I'm worried there as well.
I think the 49ers offensive line gets a lot of flack, probably rightfully so. The one area that I don't think that they get enough credit for, and again, this is a little bit revisionist history on my part, Niners haven't drafted really any offensive lineman in the past 2 years, just Dominic Pooney. That's it. Like that's the only guy, one right. offensive lineman in 2 years. I do think that the backups are solid, not saying that they're starter level, but I do think that they have depth on the offensive line at every single position. I think Jalen Moore is a pretty good backup left tackle, and he's played relatively well when Trent goes out. I don't think he's like starter level, but I think he's a pretty like the offensive tackle position in the NFL is the least talented position. Like you got 64 starters, right? 32 teams. I think there's like 40 good offensive tackles in the NFL. That's
it's a league-wide problem. Yeah, for sure.
And so to have backups like Jalen Moore and like, yeah, Colton McKivitt's not great, but what he came in 47 last year. I'm looking at PFF right now. Like, all right, 47th. There's 64 starters. Like you're getting what you get. And there's not like you can go out there and just get somebody that's way better. Because it doesn't exist. You brought over Chris Hubbard. He was the 36th rated tackle last year. It's a bad position. And, you know, whenever Chris Forster talked, he's like, there's a line. If we can get above that line or at that line, we're fine. If we can go above and there's somebody available, great. But we're not just going to draft somebody that can't beat out Jalen Moore, that can't beat out, you know, I don't know, Spencer Burford.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a great offensive line. I don't think anybody in the 49ers would tell yet, but the continuity, all five starters, including your top two backups, interior and outside, they're all back. They know the system. Like, I don't know. I was under the impression, look, you got to protect Purdy. Let's see how good he can be. Let's get him offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Shed-handed Purdy said, no, let's get him more weapons. That's how we're going to see how good Purdy is.
Firster said that as well. He's like,
I don't like the line, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they just feel our system is good enough and what we do is good enough that, you know, you have a stud at left tackle. And if we get base level play everywhere else, we're going to be fine.
Again, the problem rears its head in the postseason though, when you go against defensive lines that are elite, especially on the interior. It's the interior of the line that scares me every year. McKivitz is not great. Right. But McKivitz isn't the reason that the 49ers were getting so much pressure in Brock Purdy's face. It was 100%. The interior of the offensive line.
Backup interior, not even a starter.
Exactly. And I think they drafted Dominic Pooney because he's versatile and they only draft versatile offensive linemen. Let's get that out. And people need to understand the 49ers are only going to draft versatile offensive linemen. They're never going to draft like a behemoth right tackle that can only play right tackle. They will never draft that guy, right? You know, people are like, why didn't they keep Trent Brown? Trent Brown would never work in this system. Shanahan is like, no, that is not going to work, right? We want guys that are versatile, mainly because those guys tend to be more athletic, and you want athletic linemen in the zone blocking scheme. But one of the things that Pooney excelled at was pass blocking. And if you can get that on the interior at right guard, right? Honestly, if we could get to a point in the season where John Feliciano is the center and Dominic Pooney is the right guard and everything else stays the same, I would be over the moon about that. And whether or not that happens, I don't know. I don't know if they're even running Feliciano at center. And there we go. That, to me, that is your best offensive line. I don't think that's going to be your offensive line game one, but could that be your offensive line halfway through the season when you're comfortable with Pooney? I absolutely think so. And Pooney has shown that pass protection is one of his best assets. And so now you've got Pooney and Feliciano, who are both great pass protectors at center and right guard, and Banks, who's a decent pass protector. And all of a sudden you are holding your own against the Chris Joneses and the DJ Readers and those guys like that. So to me, that's my hope. Like I said, I don't think we're going to see that coming out of camp, but if we could see that at some point this offseason or this coming season, to me, that is the ideal offensive line.
The one thing that I agree with you, and if I could put my best five out there, it would be Feliciano at center and Pooney at right guard. And this is one of the things I want to see at camp, because at OTAs and minicamp, Dominic Pooney was playing left guard only. Like, he wouldn't take a right guard. Spencer Burford was. And so, like,
why? Now again.
So is he just there to replace Banks next year? What, and he's going to redshirt this year? That worries me.
I think that's the plan. And again, you go back to Chris Forster's comments whenever he said the most talented guy in our guard room is Spencer Burford. He is the most talented. He said the second guy is Dominic Pooney. But then he goes on and expands that, yeah, you know, you look at Burford, consistency is an issue. But as far as talent level, length and athleticism and all that stuff, Burford one, Dominic Pooney two. And so it's the plan. Those are your two guards next year. The redshirt philosophy, I think that holds true. But, man, I want Dominic Pooney practicing both guards. Because I'm with you, Brian. I'm with you.
Yeah, and when you look at some of those Super Bowl highlights, there's a number of reasons why the Niners lost those two Super Bowls to the Chiefs, but some of the big highlights are pressure up the middle, knockdown passes, you know, missed assignments. Chris Jones is wreaking havoc, and it's up the middle, and you hope to learn from the mistakes.
Up here with Burford. It's up here with Burford.
Yeah, it's really, really frustrating. All right, what else didn't we hit at? Oh, you brought up the third-string quarterback. I'm hearing good things about Tanner Mordecai.
Why not, man?
The Niners apparently really like him. Really like him. And I don't think Dobbs or Allen are sure at anything. So I think that's wide open behind Birdie.
Not after Sudfeld, right? Like, this is the post Sudfeld, Nate Sudfeld world, which I never thought that would be a timeline that existed. But like, and this is what we do as fans, as, you know, content creators, whatever. Like, we fall in love with the undrafted free agent, whoever running back Shanahan gets. And now we're in the Purdy Sudfeld battle. It's like, ooh, could Tanner Mordecai be the next Brock Purdy, which I don't think that, but I will say this, you know, he's a Waco kid, went to OU, jumped around SMU, everywhere else. I had the pleasure of working with some coaches who have been around that program and around this kid. Every one of them says, don't doubt him. You know, he's unbelievable, did so much with so little. So you plug somebody like that in this system, it's like the goldfish model, right? You get as big as the environment allows you to. He's been understaffed, under-supported by a supporting cast almost everywhere he's been. But, yeah, I think quarterback three, we'll see. I know Shanahan loves him some Brandon Allen, though. Yeah, he loves that dude, man.
Listen, and I don't know if you guys know it, but Tanner Mordecai was drafted by the DC Defenders in the UFL draft a couple days ago. So
Schrader got drafted, too, I think. I saw
so did Evan Anderson.
Evan Anderson.
So did Evan Anderson, yeah.
And so, well, if they don't make the initial 53, then they can report to those teams afterwards. Yeah. If they make the initial 53, I think it voids it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, I'm just being facetious here, but honestly, like, third quarterback, I mean, if that is the biggest hole in the roster, I'm going to be okay with that, right? Like, I'm not that concerned. I really love the Josh Dobbs signing. I think that is a tremendous signing. It's a guy that can support Purdy. He's brilliant. He's got a brilliant mind. And, you know, he's just a good dude that is going to really kind of support, you know, support Purdy. And if, you know, if God forbid Purdy went down, I see somebody say that Dobbs can't run this offense. I don't know that that's true. I think he could hold the fort down. I think if Purdy went down for the season, probably not, but I think if Purdy went down for the season, you're screwed anyway, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like Tom Moore said, you know, once he was asked, Tom Moore ran the offense with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, and someone once asked him, like, why don't you ever let your second string quarterback practice. And he says, we don't practice fucked, right? Like if Peyton Manning goes down, it doesn't matter. Like right. We're not going to practice that. There's no point. So, you know, kind of same thing. If Purdy goes down, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, I think, you know, I think Allen probably wins out just because of his familiarity with the offense, which, you know, is an important staple for Shanahan. But, you know, Mordecai is intriguing. And, you know, again, if he doesn't make the 53, then he goes and plays for the DC.
Here's my question. Over under, are we going to hear Shanahan say, well, we got four guys we really, really like 20 guys?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. He's got his guy. He doesn't have to hedge anymore. There's no hedging from Shanahan anymore.
Maybe three guys we really like. Yes. Ask him about the backup spot. All right. Wide receiver. I think we all agree that there's going to be five. Obviously, Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pierce, all, and I think Cowling's locked too.
I do too.
Who is your sixth?
Trent Taylor.
I would go. You'd say Trent Taylor. I think Chris Conley.
So here's why I think it's Trent Taylor, because Chris Conley doesn't really do anything on special teams, which is where you need to make your hay if you're going to be a sixth wide receiver on this team. I think Trent Taylor is the punt returner to begin the season because he's reliable. He's not going to drop it. He's not going to run it really? Back. You're not going to get impressive punt returns. But I think after what happened in the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan's just like, I just want someone back there who I know will catch it. And even if he doesn't return it, at least he catches it and we don't get a turnover. So I think I think he has the inside track, but we'll see, because I guarantee Cowing and probably Pearsall will get their opportunities back there. And if they can prove themselves to Shanahan, then Trent Taylor doesn't make it. But if nobody really kind of brings themselves above the fray in training camp and in preseason when it comes to punt returns, I would not at all be surprised if Trent Taylor makes this team.
I don't disagree. I could see the Willie Snead, like, oh, you're cut, but we're going to promote you the first 2 weeks. Like, you might not make the 53, but we're going to pay you enough to get there. And, you know, Shanahan always does these backroom deals with the guys that he, you know, knows, and like the Kerry Hyders. Hey, man, we're going to let you go, but you're coming back. We're moving this guy to IR. You come right back. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think Danny Gray, and I know that's like weird, but I think there's ceiling there. And I thought he was doing really well at returner last year in training camp before he got injured on the first play of the preseason, which is not something to laugh at, but I did. I don't know. It's just bad. I'm not the biggest Ronnie Bell guy. You got a punt return. So that sixth spot, I don't care about wide receiver. Who's going to be your punt returner? I do not believe in having rookies punt returners ever. And when Ronnie Bell did it last year, because of all the injuries to Ray Ray and Danny Gray, I was like, oh, this sucks. So Danny Gray, Trent Taylor, I don't know, man. You got to put somebody back there. Somebody's got to do it. I don't like
Danny Gray coming back from the dead. Yeah, Danny Gray. Listen, if you're right, man, you called it. You called it if that ends up happening.
I don't want to be right.
All right. Only other position we got to talk about, I think, is tight end. So obviously you got Kittle. I like what they did. If Logan Thomas is healthy, I really like that. You have another good mind. They have a Jordan Reed type signing, right? Just that kind of veteran pass catcher. Then they bring in Eric Saubert, who, again, is going to, you know, maybe fill the Charlie Warner role. And then you have Braden Willis there, too, who can come in. I actually like where they are at tight end this year.
What about Cameron Latu, Al?
I love that.
He's not even in my brain. Yeah, I know. Dude's not even in my brain. To me, he's already like, we hear Shanahan talk about him. Like,
yeah,
I don't think he's got a prayer. So he's not even on my radar. I think he's got such an uphill battle, man. Like,
that was like the most harshest statement Kyle's ever had on a player not named Jimmy G.
Try to hide it.
They were like, is Cameron Latu just going to be the tight end too? And Kyle like laughed. It was like, no, you got to at least practice first. Like, and then guess what? He didn't practice all of OTAs or minicamp. We'll see. That's one of the ones, like, if Cameron Latu is not cleared to start training camp, like, throw in the towel, man. It's D-U-N.
Yeah, it's over.
Cameron Latu, third round pick.
I'm a big Braden Willis guy, though. I'm a big Braden Willis guy. And I think I don't think that they asked Kyle Juszczyk to take a pay cut without Braden Willis on this team. And
that's where Braden Willis is.
I went back and listened to the, because I'm a sicko, the John Lentz press conference when they drafted Willis, the post-draft one from last year, and he said, we think he could play fullback for us as well. And, like, they love special teams. He's all over the place. He got snaps in the Super Bowl at tight end. They weren't good ones. But, like, I think Braden Willis is a part of this team's future personally.
I have always said I think Braden Willis was drafted to be Kyle Juszczyk's replacement. I don't think he was ever drafted to be an inline tight end or even Brian's a Y. Smart. I think he was always drafted to be Juszczyk's replacement. And I wouldn't be surprised if after this season, Juszczyk is gone and Willis is the starting fullback for sure.
Yeah, that next window. Get ready for that next window. All right, you guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Subscribe to 49ers Rush Podcast. Subscribe to No Huddle Podcast. And follow both of us on YouTube if you aren't already. Appreciate you.
Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back next week. John, great to talk to you as always. And
legends.
Hey.
You guys are legends.
Al and John meeting in Buffalo in week whatever that is.
Yeah, if y'all are going to be in Buffalo, we're probably going to be there too. Always. So.
I love it.
Later.
All right, guys. Thanks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing until we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.